Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on May 3rd, 2018. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I'm glad you're back.
I'm back. Oh, I had a wonderful time. I got to attend a Cubs game in Wrigley Field.
I saw your Facebook page. You went back to Chicago for your aunt's 90th birthday, was it?
The real reason I went back was because my favorite aunt, Alice Daniels, was having her 90th birthday party. It was a surprise party. My cousins contacted me, and I just couldn't miss it for the world. I mean, she is such an amazing lady, and we have people coming from all over the country to celebrate her 90th birthday. I was so, you know, it was a fantastic. I got to take my daughter, Olivia, and her boyfriend, Zach, and it was great.
I saw the pictures and the video on Facebook. It looks like you had a great time. We did that for my mom a couple of years ago for her 90th, but we did it in Florida at one of my sister's houses, and that's always fun. Well, it looks like you had a good time. I have a little housekeeping here. I want to quickly go through. Last Saturday, I attended the unveiling of the mural on the DWP tank on Grand Avenue in El Segundo. Have you heard about that? Have you seen anything about it? Well, you were out of town, so you do. Okay, so it was done by a very famous artist, John Van Hammersveld, whom we all know from the iconic The Endless Summer poster art, you know, and he's done a whole bunch of album covers. He did Magical Mystery Tour for the Beatles and a bunch of others. And so I went to the unveiling of that. And anybody that knows that tank, if you drive up or down Grand Avenue, it was a rusty old tank that has been there for a long, long time. I think it's been there since John was a kid. He was telling us a story about how he used to ride his bike. He lived in PV, but he went to high school in El Segundo. And he used to ride his bike to school every day, and he saw this tank, and now he's covered it in a mural. You know, his specific style, it's gorgeous. If you want to see, you can drive up or down Grand Avenue in El Segundo, you know, out from Vista Del Mar up or the other way. So I got to meet him, and I spoke with his PR people, and he's going to be on the show next Thursday.
Oh, that is really cool.
Yeah, that's exciting. So he's going to be our guest next Thursday, a week from today, and I'm very, very excited that we got him. And one other thing I wanted to bring up. Yesterday I had a plumber come to the house. We had a pinhole mm-hmm. leak in a pipe under the house.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and he went under the house and he took pictures and videos and showed me everything and said, I'm going to have to replace this much pipe, blah, blah, blah. I think it was 15 feet of pipe, he said, and it's going to cost me $1,500.
Okay.
And I thought, huh? And I called my husband at work, and he said, are you crazy? He said, you know, it's what? You know, $40 worth of pipe and blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, no problem. So I called a couple of other plumbers, and I got another one out here, and he did the same job for $250.
But it was a much lower quality pipe, of course. It was probably $30 worth of pipe.
No,
you got Jackie, you got the $30 pipe instead of the $40 pipe.
Anyway, you know something? Maybe we should talk to our guest, today's guest, about that. I could have been totally ripped off, man, but it all worked out well, and I'm very happy with the results. So $1,500, $250. Yeah, so you got to be careful out there.
Yeah.
Yep. So
that's what they used to say at the beginning of Hill Street Blues, right? Be careful out there.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of our guest. That's all I'm saying is that, you know, it reminds me of our guest because our guest has probably been saying that to his officers. And it's, I'll tell you, Jackie, while when I was in Chicago, I did a lot of lifting because there's a lot of, you know, back and forth, north side to south side, north side to south side. So we spent a lot of time in lift vehicles. And I would say about at one point on Monday, was it, we had three or four lift rides, and two out of three or two out of four were CPD candidates, Chicago Police Department candidates.
Oh, really?
There is.
Oh.
Yeah, it was kind of amazing that, 50%, let's say, of the lift drivers we had on Monday were looking to join the Chicago Police Department. I thought that was amazing.
It's good to hear they're hiring.
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. That's how you know the economy is improving. I'm hearing all sorts of companies hiring, big companies, little companies. I'm seeing ads on TV and on the radio. I'm seeing signs in store windows. So people are hiring, and that's exciting. That's exciting.
Right. So, Jackie, who's our guest today?
Our guest this morning is the chief of the Redondo Beach Police Department, Keith Kaufman. Now, Chief Kaufman has been a police officer since 1994 for the city of Hawthorne. His experience encompasses an array of assignments, including patrol, gangs, narcotics, SWAT, and more. He's served as a team member and commander and is a two-time Medal of Valor recipient. He achieved the rank of captain in 2008 and began working on the Coffee with a Cop program in 2011. Captain Kaufman was selected as the new chief of police for Redondo Beach in October 2015. He holds a BA degree from UCLA in Spanish literature, linguistics, and an MS degree from Cal State Dominguez Hills in negotiations conflict management. He is also a 2004 graduate of the California Post Command College, Class 55, and winner of the Dorothy Harris Award for his published journal article. Chief Kaufman enjoys surfing, spearfishing, motocross, and competing with his 15-year-old son for the highest number of emergency room visits. Now, this morning, we're going to learn about the inaugural The Lineup Surf Contest, Not Your Usual Suspects, taking place on Saturday, May 5th at 7 a.m. between Avenue I and Burnout. Welcome back to the program, Chief. We're so glad you could join us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be on.
Well, thank you. We love having you on. And I think, Chief Kaufman, one of the things that prized me about these two CPD candidates, Chicago Police Department candidates, and we did, my daughter and I, we did talk to them pretty extensively about it, was that, you know, there is a probably in the national consciousness, there is a recognition that there's a long-standing kind of a conflict in Chicago between the public and the police. There's been a long-standing animosity, potentially, but this is changing, and this is changing in a dramatic way. And I don't know if it's from the city government or the internal police department government, but they've decided to hire their way out of the situation. They are, aggressively looking at their populations and saying, who is not represented? You are the one we're going to be hiring. Is this something that you see happening around the country? Is it a general trend? What's going on?
You know, I think that is absolutely a solution to part of the problem, which that problem is part of that national narrative about the public not trusting the police, kind of us versus them mentality. A lot of it is changing, and the solution, and this is what I constantly preach to people, the solution is not at the hands of the police. The solution is at the hands of everybody. Policing in America is based on that. The police are the public are the police. That is how the system works. And so it is a two-way street. It took me a long time to actually realize this and recognize the power of it. But a perfect example would be Coffee with a Cop. When we started that back in 2011 at Hawthorne, we started it for the main reason behind it was, let's go out and create a platform where the public can understand who we are. After that program got rolling, and man, it has taken off. It's in 15 countries and every state. It's in thousands of agencies now. After that thing really got rolling and I really started to see the effects of it, that was only one side of the story. The other side was for the police to understand the public. So it's not, all of this is a two-way street. And you talked about Chicago hiring their way out of the issue. That's a great solution. I back that 100%. We do the same thing here in Redondo Beach. You know, we look for representatives of each segment of our community to come in and help solve these problems.
I am forever changed by it. I am forever, I left Chicago 30 years ago. I've been back many times, but the whole thing with the Chirac aspect to it, Chicago perceived as a very violent community, but it's changing, and I think somehow, some way, they've got the right solution, because now people are thinking of the police as more of it's our police department, right? And that's amazing and wonderful.
That is exactly how to build community. You have to position your police department, no matter where it is, you have to position it as being, part of the community, not just the policers of the community. They have to be completely embedded. When something is affecting the community, it has to affect the police department. And when something is affecting the police department, the community should feel it. And that's exactly what we want. We want people to say, hey, Redondo Beach, that's my police department. And really take ownership of it. Because then if we take ownership of those things, if myself and our officers take ownership of our community, and something goes bad in the community, which it does sometimes on a daily basis, we have to look at the bigger picture and understand that, hey, just because this negative person created this negative act, that's not representative of the community as a whole. And that's the same thing we want from the community for us, because, let's be honest about it. The work that we do can be completely legal, moral, and ethical, and it's still not going to look good. What we need is at least the benefit of the doubt to explain what it is that had to be done. And if we can have that open conversation, then we can get somewhere.
One of the things we find, Chief Kaufman, that, people that listen to this show, because it is so hyper-local, it's the South Bay Show. So people that listen to this show live here. They live within, you know, 10, 15 miles, generally speaking, 20 miles max of this location. And so they want to know you. They want to know, you know, about you, what you think about the community, how you interpret things in the community. So let's start from the beginning. You became an officer in the city of Hawthorne in 1994. Why policing? Why did you think that's the right career for me?
So we should even go back even farther. I was actually born in Redondo Beach, one of the few people when we used to have a South Bay hospital. So I was born here. My father at the time was a policeman here in the city of Redondo Beach. So I grew up before I ever got, you know, of age to start thinking about what it was I was going to be doing. I grew up in this environment. Had always been intrigued by it, gone on ride-alongs as a kid, and looked up to a lot of, you know, my father's friends, and just thought, wow, they do great work, and I'd like to be a part of that someday. Now, to be completely honest, once I hit high school and up through college, my goal was to go to the Air Force Academy and become a fighter pilot, and I obviously failed miserably at that. So option two was to become a police officer. And I'll tell you a funny story. I'll tell you a very funny story. I applied. So I went to college at UCLA. I applied here in Redondo Beach, and it was taking forever, even though I scored very, very well. It was taking forever, months and months. I wasn't getting a call back. I was in the top band. I didn't know what was going on. And so I ended up applying in Hawthorne. Both agencies got to the point of doing my chief's interview where they would offer the job, and I ended up selecting Hawthorne. But that was, you know, that was based on the type of person that I was. I had studied Spanish in college. My degree was in Spanish literature. I had lived down in Chile, and I thought that was going to be a much better opportunity for me to use my Spanish-speaking skills. And, you know, I was also an adrenaline junkie, and Hawthorne in the early 90s was a very, very busy place.
Wow.
A very busy place for a peace officer. Law enforcement officers are.
I'm kind of candy coating it. It was insane. Stuff that I did and saw on a daily basis was life altering. I mean, it was a great place. A wonderful place to be a policeman, an incredible community. I actually never thought I would ever leave that place. Loved it up till the day I left. And the only reason I did was because this opportunity came up, and I live here. You know, my kids go to school here, and I had these deep roots back to Redondo Beach, and I thought, wow, that's a once in a lifetime. So I applied, and I don't know what happened. They selected me.
When you think about policing today versus when you started, I mean, obviously there's the basics, the basic law and order. You know, you break the law, you've got to pay the price. You've got to treat people right. You can't, you know, just have, you know, mayhem. But beyond that, how has policing changed in your mind since 1994?
That is a great question. I'll tell you from my perspective, my opinion is that in 1994, we used to hire people for the purpose of enforcement. Everything was based on enforcement. When I started as a police officer, and you know, you're looking for your mentors and your leaders within the agency, you know, who's well respected, who's doing well, who's being successful. The formula for success was through your ability to enforce. So, you know, a young officer was told, listen, if you want to promote and if you want to do these things, you got to learn how to arrest a lot of people. You have to get on the narcotics team. You have to work undercover. You have to get on SWAT. All these, we call them high-speed, low-drag positions in policing. All the dynamic stuff. Basically, every show you've ever seen, that's what they portray us as doing. It's about 15% of what we actually do. So that was the focus. That was the formula. It was enforce, enforce, enforce. So to answer your question, that was then. Today is 100% community engagement and 100% enforcement. You have to balance those two. You enforce when you have to. You engage when you can. And that engage when you can piece used to be missing. So I think policing has seen the value of that inclusion in the community, community engagement, open dialogue. Those are the things that solve problems rather than just put Band-Aids on them. We learned a long time ago, you cannot arrest your way out of anything. Now, there are people, they need to go to jail, and some of them for a really long time. But that's usually just a Band-Aid. So the Band-Aids that we're putting on, you know, someone's using drugs, and now we're gonna hit that house and we're gonna arrest them, and then the next thing you know, the drug sales move to the next place, or we push it into the neighboring community. I think what we've learned now also is that policing doesn't have borders. What you're telling me about Chicago, if Chicago doesn't fix their problem, we're gonna suffer here in Redondo Beach, and so we all. We all have to share with one another what our positive successes are, and we actually need to highlight them and start controlling the narrative a bit, because we're pretty good at sitting back on our heels and getting beat up most of the time and not really having a voice. That's why when you guys call and say, hey, will you come on the show? I mean, that's my job. Absolutely. We have to get our voice out there.
Now, there's a very big question in a lot of minds. January 1st, 2018 was a huge day in California for many different reasons, but in many people's minds, positive and negative, one of the biggest things was the legalization of marijuana for recreational use. It had been legal for medical purposes for some time, but now legal for recreational use. There are several businesses that have been opening up, and aggressively from our relationship with the Manhattan Beach Chamber, we've known Mark Lips, the CEO and president of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, gets approached at least two or three times a month from major organizations that want to move into the South Bay and sell marijuana and THC and CBD related products. And of course, he says, hey, it's not going to happen in Manhattan Beach, but maybe you could go to, you know, Gardena, Lawndale, Hawthorne, and people from the Manhattan Beach will find you. The key question for me is, in 1994, if people were dealing marijuana, not heroin, not, you know, meth, if people were dealing marijuana, they would go to jail. That's not happening today, partly because the profit is out of it, because you can go down to the store and buy it. Tell me about that. Tell me about it.
So marijuana has been decriminalized for a long, long time. And decriminalization of certain things happens in various ways. Sometimes it's a political position. Sometimes it is because political positions can put pressure on different entities to enforce or not to enforce. So once all that stuff started to change, going way back, even before medical marijuana, then there was less and less enforcement. So when 2018 hits, it's not the shock to conscience that you would think it may be, or that the public thinks that there is with the police. There's not a lot that's changed. You still can't smoke marijuana in public. You can possess it up to an ounce. What we've seen change, what I've personally seen change from a policing aspect and also living here in the city, is that there is more social acceptance, which causes more frequency. I smell it everywhere. I smell a couple things that alarm me, a couple places where I smell it that kind of alarm me. I smell it when I'm surfing in the water. So it's coming from like a pier or something. The other one is when I ride motorcycles, I smell it on the freeway. Okay, that's not good. But from a community perspective, I can tell you, if you talk to our high school administrators, they're seeing a big increase in incidents and use with our youth, which obviously is not legal. So there is there are some issues. The biggest issue that I have with it from a policing standpoint is that we have recreational marijuana legalized, but we didn't have anything and still don't have things in place that we need to actually enforce it. So if someone is under the influence of marijuana in a car, I can't test them. We don't have the test. We don't have that in place first. And so
now,
that causes a problem.
To have that? Weren't we supposed to have that? The law passed in 2016, but there was a period where we were supposed to be evaluating how to enforce, how to, you know, pass laws or manage the businesses, and also testing.
The state of California doesn't even have the track and trace program completed. So we're way behind. The cart got before the horse, and that's what causes the problems. That's why all of these cities in the South Bay have there are certain things that you can restrict. Okay? Just because the proposition passed doesn't mean that your local liquor store can start selling marijuana. There isn't a city around here in the South Bay where you can do that. But what had to happen was those individual municipalities passed ordinances forbidding it. And so that's what happened here in Redondo Beach and with all the other places. And most of the reason that those ordinances are being passed is because there's no way to really track and trace all of the product. And so I think people are waiting. They're waiting to see what happens. And that's where we are here in Redondo Beach. You can also grow up to six plants in your home, but cities can restrict the location. So in Redondo, you can't grow six plants in your front yard. And if you grow them in your backyard, it has to be like in a locked greenhouse so that we don't have theft issues. There's all kinds of nuances to this law, but there has been some changes. The biggest changes, I think, are you have more social acceptance, and the thing that scares me is that getting pushed down to our youth.
Mm-hmm. Jackie?
It would have been nice if they had figured out all of the enforcement stuff before. Like, if they had passed law in January 1, 2018, saying, you know, okay, we're going to legalize this, but we're going to have a 2-year period to get all our ducks in a row before anything actually happens, before the law goes into effect. That would have made a little more sense, I think, than everybody trying to scramble. Have they allowed shops to set up in Redondo Beach? Or
no.
Has Redondo passed an ordinance?
No, we've passed an ordinance as well. So, you would have thought that would have been the right way to do it, but it's not. So what happened was they said, oh, there's a certain segment of the money that's going to be granted back to law enforcement to create those programs and to do those studies, but nothing's in place. So what happens is it creates an unfunded liability on us. So now I have police officers that have all the training for DUI. Now you have someone that's under the influence of marijuana or any other drug. What you really need to be able to develop that probable cause to make that arrest is to have someone that's an expert, a drug recognition expert. Well, that's like a 2-week course, maybe even longer. It's a very difficult course. And so now we're having to send people to that to to get drug recognition experts, but now you got to have them on different shifts so that when a car stops, you can have an officer come over and do an evaluation. It just makes things a bit more difficult.
You know, I'm having a visual of the Cheech and Chong movie, you know, get pulled over by a police officer and the window rolls down and all this smoke comes out of the window. And so that something like that wouldn't be enough if somebody rolls down their window and you get a whiff of it.
Well, that's
going to
help.
Yeah,
that's going to help.
That would help.
You know, the problem is you have people that extract THC from marijuana. They create these things called honey oils, and you've probably heard of some of the different
gummies.
Yeah. Well, they'll take that and they'll put it in these vape pens and vape it. You can't smell it. So that's one of the things that's actually really popular with our youth. And that can cause a bit of a problem. So, yeah, it's an interesting situation. It's something we just have to deal with.
Hey, Joe, let's do a quick station break and get that done with.
Fantastic, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we are thrilled to have the chief of the Redondo Beach Police Department, Keith Kaufman, with us today. We're going to be talking about the surf contest called The Lineup coming up soon, but it's just an amazing time to be able to spend asking questions and talking with the chief of police. Most people don't have a direct connection or hopefully don't have a direct connection with the police department on a regular basis, but it's something that we all think about, and we'd love to have anyone who has a question who's listening live to call in with a question or a comment. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. Give us a call. We'd love to have your comment or question. So now, Chief Kaufman, we're back and we're going to talk about this program. But first of all, I want to talk about Coffee with a Cop. It has been it's been so successful. Tell us about when it began in the city of Hawthorne and how that has. You can give me some numbers, statistics, but I know people that have participated come away just with awe at how wonderful a program it is.
The most awesome thing about Coffee with a Cop is I can go pretty much anywhere and ask, hey, have you ever heard of Coffee with a Cop? And the public's heard of it everywhere across the U.S. and in a lot of other countries. It's been phenomenal. What a incredible ride that was. And, you know, if we tried to stop it, we'd never be able to. But I'll tell you about it. The reason it works is because it's simple. It doesn't cost anybody any money. It allows the community through our businesses to get involved with their police department and with their communities. And what it does is it teaches police officers the importance of breaking down barriers to open up communication. This started because when we were in Hawthorne, our community affairs unit was looking for ways to engage the public. Now, the traditional ways are, hey, we're going to have an open house. We're going to have a pancake breakfast. We're going to have a town hall meeting. We're going to be at your local fair. We're going to do a demonstration. These are all the things that police used to do. And those are good things. But when you go to those, the same people are there every time. We usually know who they are. They usually already support the police, and they have time. People in the South Bay have jobs, and oftentimes many of them, just to be able to make their rent. These are real people working hard, struggling to survive, and they're not going to spend the time to come to us. So what the first step was, we need to go to them. Where not the constituents, not the the supporters of the police department, but the real community, where are they? So we started going to our local coffee shops, McDonald's, and unannounced, we would set up. No agenda, no speech. We're not going to tell you about crime. We're not going to do anything. All we're going to do is talk. And then we learned that the coffee was the mechanism or the vehicle to break that initial barrier. You know, if an officer comes up to you in uniform, it doesn't matter if it's in a coffee shop or anywhere, people are intimidated. And that offering of, hey, can I pour you a cup of coffee? It automatically feels weird. And the person's like, wow, this is different. And it's a great way to start a conversation. That's why people meet in restaurants. It's why they meet in coffee shops, because it's a neutral ground, and it's a great way to start a conversation. Well, what we began doing was refining what worked and what didn't. We noticed that when officers would stand in a circle within a coffee shop, nobody would approach them because that was more intimidating, and no one wants to interrupt the police officer. So we made them break up. We noticed that when you sat down with somebody and you got on their same level, that the conversations got deeper. So we started teaching that. Then we started learning, don't park police cars in front of the restaurant. we learned all these things. You can't believe it. It's a four-hour class. And a lot of agencies don't think they need the class. Oh, we're just going to go to a coffee shop and we're going to set up. It, you know what? They're probably going to, if they don't stick at it, it's probably going to fail. I've seen the most miserable coffee with a cop setups you can ever believe. Like, they would have been better off not doing them. But anyway, that's what happened. A sergeant named Chris Koniak wrote an article back when we were doing this in Hawthorne. We did our very first one at Rosecrans and Hendry at the McDonald's. I was there first in uniform waiting for people to talk to me, and nobody did. So that's when we started figuring out, wow, we're going to have to, like, walk up to them with a carafe of coffee. He wrote an article. It got published by the Department of Justice. Our phone started ringing off the hook. Next thing you know, the University of Illinois called and said, we want to write a grant.
Yeah.
We sat down with them. We wrote a grant, and we taught this all across the country and in other countries. And it has spread like wildfire. Now there's actually a National Coffee with a Cop Day where agencies across the country do it. Yes, sir.
Tell me why Hawthorne, California – is the center of the universe in the coffee with a cop program. Why did that happen?
I'll tell you exactly why. Police departments, police officers need to understand that there's really nothing they can't do. You can make a difference. You can do or create something that can literally change the world. But most agencies don't push to be the best. Most agencies don't put their neck out there to try something new. You know, in policing, kind of the general feel has been stay out of the news, you know, hide between the walls, lack transparency, and just stay in your comfortable spot. You have to get out, and you have to push. You have to try new things. I can't tell you how badly I was ridiculed when we started Coffee with a Cop. I would go to meetings in the South Bay, and the other agencies would just crack up at us. Oh, that's just another stupid Hawthorne idea. They would laugh, and that's ridiculous. And we would tell them, no, it's working. You guys have to do it. It's an amazing thing for the community. And then when the grant rolled in, people started to pay attention. And then when the press, you know, the Department of Justice itself, the COPS office, it's Community-Oriented Policing Services, one of their assistant directors, who I won't name, came up to me. He never supported the program. He didn't support the grant. He thought it was a boondoggle. He thought it was, you know, money not being well spent. He came up to me at a conference and he said, I'm going to tell you something. I put a Google alert for Coffee with a Cop on my phone when this thing started because I knew it was going to be a disaster. He's like, I have not seen a negative comment, and it had been years. And in fact, he said, I don't think I've ever seen another community program that's had more positive press. So to answer your story, and policemen, if you're listening, other agencies, if you're listening, you can change the world. You can change the way that this whole relationship between the police and the public works. Just get out there and try some stuff and believe that you can be the absolute best. I tell my people here in Redondo Beach all the time, is there anyone here that doesn't believe we can be the best police agency in the nation?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the answer. We can do it. You know why? Because nobody tries. No one tries to be the best. No one tries all these new things. And so that's what we're doing. And that's probably a great segue into our surf competition.
Surfing
it is.
With a cop.
It is.
Let's talk about that. Jackie, how did you hear about this originally?
Well, Dinah Larry, who works with the Redondo Beach Police Department, contacted me, and she told me that we're doing this event. And now remember, earlier this year, you guys did a skate event at the pier. Was that about a year ago? Was that about a year ago, Chief?
Yeah, it was in, I think we did it in October.
October, okay, all right.
We did it in October, and it was on the pier, and it was a hit.
It was a hit. So this is this community reaching out to the community, doing, you know, we live at the beach. You know, we have a surf skate culture, and you, and I'm sure many of your officers grew up in that culture. And you were like, as you've been saying the whole show, how do we relate? How do we relate with our community? Surfing, it's kind of a no-brainer. This Saturday, May 5th at 7 a.m. between Avenue I and Burnout, the lineup surf contest, not your usual suspects. I love the tagline. I love the tagline. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I feel bad for Dinah and our crew that does all of our community engagement here. Actually, we all do it, but the ones that's their specific job, because they did that skate competition and it was a ton of work, and it was a hit. It was a hit. The community loved it, and I was there. I couldn't believe it. That skate competition was in my career, not just because it happened here in Redondo Beach, but that was one of the best community engagement things I had ever seen in my life. So when it was over and I was talking with Dinah and Sergeant Jeff Mendence about how the competition went, they said, "What did you think?" And I'm like, "When's the surf competition?" So we were talking about it. We were probably talking about that even before the skate competition. So it's another way, like you said, surfing and skating. I mean, it's born in these communities. This is part of the culture. If you came to my office right now, you'd see a Hap Jacobs surfboard on the wall and a whole rack of skateboard decks on my wall from the Bones Brigade. That is what I grew up with. And those segments of the community oftentimes don't love the police, especially the skate community.
Yeah.
So, but they're part of our community and they're part of everyone's culture. And that's a cool thing to see. You look at that skate competition and you see people, you know, in their 40s and 50s with their kids, because they want their kids to understand the culture of the South Bay. And sometimes the dads or moms are out there skating with their kids. It's just awesome. So we're doing the same thing with surfing, and it's going to be this Saturday. And it's packed. They're trying to stop taking entry forms.
No.
But,
really?
We have over 85 competitors that are coming down to surf, and they range from people that have no idea what they're doing to pros. So it is going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah, tell us about the Jimmy. It's going to be a Jimmy format. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the format is it's a 6-person team. So you can sign up, but with a you can sign up 5 people, and you create your own team. You can have a team name and the whole 9 yards. Now, the police department is going to assign your 6th member, and that 6th member is going to be either a police officer, a Special Olympian, or a wounded hero. And so every team will have like a special guest. Mayor Brand's going to surf in the competition. I'm going to surf in the competition, and it's going to be great. So we'll add your 6th member, and the heats will rotate. You'll have one person on the team in the water, and it's like a tag team. They'll go out for a few minutes and come in, and then the next person goes in, and the teams compete against each other, and it's a regular competition format. The winner of the competition is going to win the coveted Golden Donut Trophy.
All right.
I love that.
It's
now,
so much
as far as your special guest 6th team, sixth member, is that just community people as well? Did you reach out to Special Olympians in the community, veterans? How did you do that?
Yes. So Dinah and her team, they reached out to the Special Olympics of Southern California. So they're looking for the Special Olympians that are from this particular area, and the same goes for the Wounded Heroes of America. And those are our Iraq and Afghanistan veterans that have been wounded. And, you know, there are a lot of organizations that use surfing as a mechanism to engage people and heal them. You've probably seen some of those stories as well. So this is just a great way to include those different segments of the community with the police department, you know, and the surfing community, and just have everybody go out there and have a great time. So there's serious judges. It's a legitimate surf competition, but this is not the high-pressure competition. You know, this is to have fun and to engage. It should be a ton of fun. I mean, I am amazed daily at what the people here at the police department do and accomplish. I was over in our Community Affairs Bureau yesterday, in fact, and they created a step repeat just to take photos. That's actually one of those lineups like you would see in the movies of, you know, with the height where you line up 6 people and you take a photo. And I thought, that is brilliant. That is absolutely brilliant. And these ideas are flowing. It's, you know, the people that work here at the police department are empowered to make change, and they're doing it.
That is incredible. I mean, the day of the event, you could have one of those whiteboards with the height lines there and take pictures of all the six team members together. That would be hysterical. All in wetsuits with surfboards. Oh my goodness, that is so funny. That's so funny. So, what is the surf forecast for Saturday? Do we know yet?
You know, I do. It's going to be a little small. We're probably going to have waves in the 2-foot range, but it'll be fine. If we had the competition last weekend, we had some of the most phenomenal surf we've had all year. But the swell's tapering off a bit. But not to be discouraged. Just bring a little bit bigger board. It'll be fine. I think the main thing is that we're getting everybody together and going down, and we're able to showcase from a police department perspective that we're real people. We have a sense of humor. It's okay. You know, we'll give away a Golden Donut Trophy. We can do a lineup on the wall. We're open and we're part of the community. The best part about this competition is when I hear it from people within the community that have no idea that I work here at the police department. When we have, you know, 15-year-old kids creating their own teams and trying to put together a team to beat the 5 other kids, you know, from South High and MiraCosta, and all to come and join a police competition, that's insane. What else can you do where you can get a 15-year-old kid to say, I'm going to go do that with the police department? Well, I tell you what, if you do it right and you stay on the periphery and you let you let the industry have a say in how it goes, they'll come. And I think that's what we're doing. We learned that with the skate competition. You know, we stayed on the periphery. We let the local surf shops and skate shops have a voice, be engaged, do some of the marketing for it, and that's what happens. You know, people are talking about this, and while I was on the phone with you right now, this our video and a segment just ran on Fox News this morning. Rick Dickert, who's one of our local community members here in Redondo Beach, just put that on the news this morning while I was on the phone with you. To me, that's amazing.
Wow, it's good all around. You must have no lack of sponsors, you know, between the surf and the skate community, I would imagine. So are these going to be annual events?
I hope so. They are a lot of work, we're getting to the point where we can't not do them. I mean, the public is so into them that they want them to happen. So I believe they will be annual events. We've already been talking about the second skate competition. You know what we really need help with is we just need the community to get involved. Do cost a little bit of money to put on. There's no entry fee for our contests. We encourage families to come.
That's
kids, you just sign up. Sign the waiver and off you go. There isn't another contest like that around. You always have to pay an entry fee, and that entry fee pays for the judges and the T-shirts and, you know, everything that's there, the food, the permits. We actually pull those ourselves, believe it or not. So there are some there's some costs behind these things. So we just need our community to continue to engage, help out a little bit, and let's keep this open so that anybody that lives in the area can come down and play.
I love this, Joe. I love this.
It doesn't get any better.
I don't think it does. I'm having the time of my life. My fellow chiefs in LA County laugh at me. They're like, what are you doing? Really? Like, surf competition? Is that what you should be focused on? My answer? Yes. Don't get me wrong. We have a lot of policing going on, a ton of enforcement, a ton of things that the public will never see. We do a great job. But we also have time. We have time. This is part of what we should be doing. All of the community things that we do create a relationship that help us solve crime in the long term. They help us solve problems and not just put Band-Aids on them. And that is that's an important focus. It really goes back to your initial question, what's different between then and now? That's what's different.
Mm-hmm. Well, could you imagine? Could you imagine a police sponsored surf competition 30 years ago? Probably not.
No,
huh?
I can't. Here's the other thing, really important to note, and I'm very, very passionate about. It's tough to find police officers. If you go to a police conference and you listen to what's being talked about, it's how do we find police officers? How do we recruit them? We're not getting our numbers. We can't get people to pass backgrounds. We're all these problems. We can't hire, we can't hire, we can't hire. What we're doing here is we're not recruiting. We're attracting. And so when we do a surf competition or a skate competition or these videos that you see that are a little bit quirky all the different stuff that we're doing, that attracts people to our agency. And we don't have to go out and say, hey, will you join us? They're coming to us saying, how do I get to be a part of this? Or they're saying, you know, I thought about maybe being a police officer, but that looks like I could work there. And our numbers are going through the roof. You know, we stopped taking applications in the 600s now. We can't process that many people. And we're getting great police officers. And that really is the way to do it, because if they care about the community from day one, if what happens in the community means something to them, then they're going to be a better police officer.
You have already just filled the ranks of the next generation of Redondo Beach police officers by doing these events.
Absolutely. Right. These kids, they're constantly banging on our door for internships, and they want, you know, what's neat is we want to be approachable. That's why we're so involved in our school district. We don't want to be seen as, there they are. We want to be seen as, oh, there they are. Cool. Like I can talk to those guys. Those are the guys that did the skate competition, or that's the officer I saw at the surf competition. You know, that's the feel we want here. And we can do that, and we can still police and police aggressively and be proactive and take people to jail when they need to go.
So when so when people do see a whole bunch of police cars in front of the coffee shop, they're not going to say, "Uh-oh, not going in there."
Yeah, we want them to come up to us. You know, we want them to engage. We try to be as open as we can, and that is a way to attract new people. If we can show Redondo Beach who we are as people, because that's our biggest strength. If you come and look at our police department, it's not the prettiest thing you've ever seen. Our strength is in our people, and we have incredible talent. I mean, look at what these people are doing with these contests. It baffles me. The only thing I have to do is say, yes, try it. Create the environment, create the empowerment, that will create the creativity. Say yes, let's try a few things, and then the next thing you know, we have people that want to work here because they're like, wow, you mean I can be a policeman and still be myself? Because this job shouldn't define who you are. You know, if you ask me, who are you? I don't say I'm a police chief. You know, I'm a father and a husband and a surfer and a spear fisherman, and I'm all these things. I do police work, but it shouldn't really define us. That's a big difference between what I've seen in my career. You know, it used to be when you became a police officer, it defined who you were. That was everything. It's not everything. It's actually one of the least important things. So it's just changing that culture.
I love it.
I love it. I don't think, Chief Kaufman, that, you know, we get a show that we believe can really change how people live their lives that often. This show, if it is listened to by other police agencies around the country, will get a sense of how we're doing it in the South Bay and how we're being successful. And it can potentially change people's lives. There you go. That's what I'm proud of. When we started this many years ago, I thought communications was important. Here we are communicating about policing in the South Bay, and wow, it's special. Thank you so much, Chief Kaufman, for joining us today.
You bet. I'm happy to be here.
Are you still taking applicants for the contest, or is that closed out now?
We're right at the cusp. I would say if you're interested, still apply. You go to the Redondo Beach website. It's redondo.org. There's a flyer on there. There's entry forms. Fill it out. Send it in. All the information's on the website. Or just come down and see us tomorrow. If we can't get you on a team, we apologize. But there's only so many people that they're going to be able to judge. So there might be a few spots left, but I know we're pushing it.
If you can't join, go down and watch. It sounds like it's going to be a ton of fun.
Come down, watch. Right. You know, bring a wetsuit if you have one. Bring a surfboard. If you don't have any of that, bring a towel. We'll let you borrow one. Surf competition, basically, it's got a roped-off area, kind of a flagged-off area. That's where the competing's happening. But on the sides of those areas, there'll be a ton of people in the water. So come out, surf with us, and just have a good time.
Yeah, fantastic. That is community policing at its best. It's being a part of the community, and we're so proud to be a part of getting the word out. Thank you so much, Keith Kaufman, Chief of Police, Redondo Beach, California. Thanks, Chief.
You bet. Anytime.
All right. And that's our show today, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again tomorrow. Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
See you tomorrow, everybody. Bye-bye.